Welcome back, Skrull Nation. This is Skrull Radio on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. And for this hour, your connection to the world of writing and peer writing tutoring. We are brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning. Check us out at depaul.edu/writing. We've got finals week coming up, so we'd love to see you in the Writing Center for sure. I'm Ryan McQueeny, joined by Kate Harrington. How are you doing, Kate?
You know what? Still feeling energized.
Energized. All right.
Still feeling pepped.
Feeling
pepped.
Nice. Pepped.
Just nice.
Pepped.
P-E-P-P-E-D. Pepped. Pepped up.
This week we are joined by John Grote. He is a third year student in the video game production program. There was a big title to what you said, and I forgot a lot of it already. But
game development. Just don't just say game.
Game development.
Okay.
We'll go with that. Ever. In the CDM school. So we're talking video games. We're talking video games this week. We're trying to get down to the root of what gets a video game going.
Please don't say that anymore during this
can
show.
Can I not say it?
I don't like
That's
it.
How I text it if I'm saying, like, if I ever Vidya? Text the word video to Y-A. Anyone, I say video with a D-Y-A.
Yeah, that's good.
Getting down to the root of what makes Skrull Radio work, though, is the word of the day.
Okay, there you go.
Transition. You know I got those transitions, Kate.
It's like, what?
Word of the day is America's favorite game show segment where we guess a rare or uncommon word. Why do we do it, Kate?
Words are the currency of life, Ryan. That's why.
Mm-mm-mm. Music to my ears. This week's word is perore. This week's word is perore.
Ryan, can I have a hint, maybe?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Because I can see in your face you don't know what it is.
Yeah,
I can tell you right now you don't know what it is. John, I don't think you know what it is either.
I have no idea, but you guys don't know.
We don't know either. So
it's okay, we're in the same boat.
We're in the same boat. It's of Latin origin. It's a verb, perore, P-E-R-O-R-E. And our first hint is that it's a Roman pastime. Well, it's not a noun, so it's not a Roman pastime. But Roman pastime is the hint.
I really thought that said Roman poet time, but I was wrong.
Which would help even less than if that were the case.
Roman pastime. Yeah, I don't know any Roman pastimes. Philosophy.
Orgies.
True.
Think of like naked oiled people.
Yeah.
True.
And
sculpting.
Making slaves fight lions.
Yeah. Gladiator, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Things my parents wouldn't approve of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad we as humans
progressed
past
that
part of society.
I don't know. We're going back to it. I'm down.
So if you think you know what perore means, or if you just want to chat at us about Roman pastimes.
Or video games, video games.
Video games. text us at 773-325-7341. Or get at us at the hashtag Skrull Radio on Twitter.
Our Twitter feed is blowing up.
Our Twitter feed is on fire right now.
My good friend
Big
Colin.
Thanks to
Shout out
John
at
Groot.
At Swerve Bird. For contributing to the conversation. We appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
Okay, so I want to restart us with that wonderful conversation we were having about gaming and game production and Vidge games. I'm never not going to say it now.
Yeah, I know. I knew that when I told you not to.
When we were emailing you.
When I emailed him.
Okay. True. It is a team effort, though. So
yeah, but I want to talk about it.
Okay.
So when I emailed you, I said, hey, what's up? Heard you're good at the video game stuff. And I said something about storytelling.
This is verbatim.
You're good at the video game
like
stuff.
Megan Peets said you make games.
Yeah.
Period.
Help.
Shout out to Megan Peets for the help on this week's
Please come
episode.
To our radio show. And you said, no, I'm not familiar with traditional storytelling, but here's your verbatim quote. This is actually verbatim. I am interested more in the procedural rhetoric video games utilize to communicate ideas.
We went crazy.
We went nuts.
When you
$1 billion phrase there.
We love that.
Yeah.
So talk about it.
Tell us.
So when you say question. Procedural rhetoric utilized to in video games utilized to communicate ideas, what?
So to give a really undergrad description of where that's from.
That's cool. We're all undergrads here.
Yeah, you know.
True. Robert RGA is actually a graduate student. Okay. So
well, he's not a game grad student. Like,
yeah, we're good.
Sure.
We're
good. Yeah.
There's a book called Persuasive Games written by Ian Bogost, mm-hmm. who is the head of a game studies program at Georgia Tech.
Is that on the Amazon? Is that on Amazon? Because that would be another plug that we have.
That book. It probably is.
I don't
is.
Think you need. I mean, it's kind of old now.
$2
Persuasive Games okay. by Ian Bogost from Check MIT Press.
Okay,
cool. Something like that. But the abstract of that book is that games utilize something called procedural rhetoric, which is how he claims that they're unique in the sense that computers and other digital forms utilize a series of procedural like functions, basically. So like when you writing a computer program means that you're writing a set of rules, and playing a game is interacting with those rules or interacting. Rules is weird because games don't have to have rules to be a game.
Yeah.
But it's more the boundaries of the space that you're interacting with. So you're in programming those boundaries in whatever form, you're creating a set of procedures that you have to engage or that you can engage with. And in engaging with that, you communicate, whether like story and through story or whatever other like communication that you have, you're communicating ideas, and that's where you get kind of like a rhetoric from it, is through this interaction and the procedures of those interactions.
Beautiful.
Can we just a little snaps? It's not, it was, that was fantastic.
I love it. He's so humble, but that was like such a brilliant, beautifully said. That's okay. So. You explained it. I understand it, and I don't know anything about the rhetoric of video games.
Can you teach me everything?
Yeah.
No. You have to pay me.
No.
It's for the next
So,
show.
Speaking of procedural things, and kind of just the way that things are in a process, when I sit down to write a paper, I kind of have my process down already. Like, I'm going to do my research. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to come up with my thesis. Then I'm going to work out an outline, get my body paragraphs figure out how I want to write the conclusion. And then I'm going to jump in, work from that outline, turn it in 5 minutes before it's due. Nice. And it's going to be done. But, you know, when we were thinking about this episode, I realized that I really have no idea what that process looks like for video game production and game design from that aspect. So what is like step one when you want to make a game?
Square one.
And then like square two and three.
Well, at least for what I make, and some of this comes from being a student and being young, I don't really think about story when I go to make games. And some of that has to do with me not being like a good writer or like a good, a good storyteller, I think, in the traditional sense. But I also think that games as a medium, kind of one of their inherent qualities is that they're kind of juvenile right now. And some of that translates into the stories that are being told. And I feel like the only thing I could write would be juvenile, and I don't want to write just like juvenile stories.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, it's that sort of idea. So usually when I go to make a game, I am thinking more about what the game is trying to evoke. And it depends, because it's not just like, how do I want this person to feel? But it's also like, how do I want to get to the point that someone is feeling a certain thing? So usually where I start is with some sort of like basic like concept, and then you build off of that and kind of abstract that concept into, this is how I want to portray in this like setting or idea or feeling, and this is the way that I'm going to make it, and then like this is how I'm going to kind of program that or like set up that, since it doesn't have to be programming, but if we're talking about video games, then it's kind of inherently digital, but there's more than that.
Interesting. I like that idea of like evoking emotions through video games. Do you have like do you have to write stuff down ever, or do you just like sit and meditate on it?
Well, it depends. Sometimes I'm like, there's a yearly thing called the Global Game Jam.
Ooh.
And the idea behind it is that you're given a topic and then you have to make a game in regards to that topic.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's things, and I don't know anything about if the writing program does that, where it's like write a story in a NaNoWriMo similar.
Basically like whatever. A prompt, right?
Yeah. So you get a prompt and then you write towards that prompt, or in our case, make a game towards that prompt. And with that, what was the original question?
Do you sit down and write anything?
Oh, yeah. So with that, our group usually does is that we got the prompt and then we abstract from, like, we get as far away from the topic as possible, but still with it in our heads. So it's like what I try and do, because I don't think it's interesting to take things literally within stuff like that. So like this year it was ritual, right? The topic was ritual, but it's boring to be like, we're going to make a game about waking up in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
cause that's a hugely broad topic.
Yeah, no. And there's a lot of places you could go with that. So our group ended up making a game where you control tots, which are, if you've seen Toy Story, I think they're in there, but we totally ripped off the art and name from the Toddle and Tots, I think. But we call it Tots Life, and the idea is that you're kind of like this toy, and we're trying to evoke this idea. I keep saying evoke. It's a good word. The way that I was approaching was that I wanted to feel like you are a kid playing with a toy, but you're the toy. Ooh. In the game, so you're like not really realizing that you're being played with. Ooh. Or like it's kind of like in between where you're kind of doing that. So you roll around as these little toy guys and you're trying to do tasks, but there wasn't really much ritual in it. The idea was that you every morning, the idea that we brought and then like put it in the weird like ball human thing.
Yeah. I mean, children play with toys kind of ritually, so you could stretch it like that.
Wow, I never thought
of that. There you go. Just made that connection for you.
Well, we'll get the sequel started now.
There you go. Todd's 2.
Well, we're working on it. So,
very cool. So keep me up with this little analogy that Ryan brought up about his writing process.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Going to make this connection here.
No one's watching right now, but
we're doing some
Kate's
crazy
doing this weird thing jazz with her hands. There is a webcam if you are watching on Radio Department.
So if you're sitting down, Ryan's sitting down writing his paper, John's sitting down meditating on his ritual ideas and things like this.
My rituals.
Your rituals. brushing your teeth, taking a shower.
Can do some.
Yeah, good. You got the sound effects going. How do you kind of work your ideas to fit certain audiences, like especially this Tots game? Like, what was kind of your audience for that? How do you figure out an audience from that starting idea in a video game? Do you start with the audience? Does that come later?
I don't really think about an audience as a like specific set of people.
Yeah, like
as
a target.
Much as if someone was interacting with this, how would they be interacting with it, and what's the like kind of logical steps of how they would be interacting with it?
Okay.
And I'm a lot of it is self-centered because I'm young and I recognize that, but that's like what I am making right now are things that like I care about more than like what it will make me money.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the freedom of being a student.
Definitely.
Amen.
Yeah.
So when I'm making a game, like for the Global Game Jam, I knew that we were presenting the game to like judges.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, my thought process for it was that I'm making this to be observed by people. And if we want to win, this is what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Want to win.
Like, yeah.
Which I guess there was winning stuff, but if we wanted to like be recognized by the judges and like by our peers, it would have to be something that had to fit kind of like these standards.
Can you name those standards?
So for the judges, it would be like, can this game? Because the winners get like, we got booth space, So we won the audience and judge award.
Nice.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
So we have to take the game. We won the audience awards. We're taking it to a studio and like taking the game to a studio to have them critique it. And we get booth space at Indie PopCon, which is a like game convention in Indianapolis.
Wow.
Cool.
So for the judges, it's like what they're looking for, like quality of work and like what, like making sure that it looks is something that is presentable and respectable and like fits the theme and all of that kind of ideas. Those ideas, sorry. writing center. Hey guys.
It's okay.
They're also looking for what can be continued to be worked on.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at it from a more, it's like local professionals. So yeah. One of the judges was like, Max Temkin from Cards Against Humanity.
Oh,
cool.
So he like made that. So they liked our game because it could be expanded upon. And that was part of what we made was, okay, we have all these things and what can we chop out and still get a coherent kind of structure to it.
Very cool.
Wow, that's really fascinating. Congratulations on your victory.
Yeah.